WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, welcome to Monday Night Talk, and hope you... We're able to get out and attend ceremonies in and around the community in regards to remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, as there were many, many events that were held in and around the South Shore. We got a great show lined up for you. We actually have dedicated a portion of the program to talking about Memorial Day, the importance of Memorial Day, the confusion with Memorial Day. I hear a lot of people who confuse it with Veterans Day. And that's not the case. It's to remember those who lost their lives fighting, giving the supreme sacrifice of their life to defend our freedoms in and around the world as they're, they were called. Whether it's the World War One, World War Two generation. I don't even know if there's any World War Two generation veterans left. But to other conflicts, whether it was Korea, Vietnam. Let's not forget the Iraq conflict. Now we're still in Afghanistan at this particular time. And joining me at this moment. yeah, that'd be good.
Hi, Kevin Tachi. Monday Night Talk.
Retired Navy SEAL. And also a veterans advocate, Tony O'Brien. Also, you were commander of, were you not a commander of VFW Post 697? Or
I was.
Okay.
I used to be. I'm wearing like four hats there now.
So many hats.
Still very involved in VFW. It's a big operation. I mean, it's a big business.
So Tony's here to join me for the first 45 minutes. I was able to cull together some sound from a couple of different events. So we'll interject that. It's just as part of a spirit of the conversation that we are. We're going to have Tony. I think of you as being the ultimate individual when it comes to attending a lot of these events. You mentioned actually during the newscast you're going to the Duval. I've videotaped it. You are, and the kids not only love it, but they appreciate it, as you're kind of giving them a tutorial about. The service.
Yeah, I'm a small player in it. The school does a fabulous job. Totally. And I hate to say it, but and you don't mean to be critical, but I'm not running a school. but a lot of schools don't do anything.
Yeah.
And they do a big to-do. You've been there.
Yeah.
That's an hour-long thing. The kids are...
But it's fantastic. Really, and they had yourself and a lot of other stakeholders are part of it, and they do all kinds of the flags and remembering.
They have a new principal there.
Yeah.
And she's dynamite, Darlene Foley.
Which is fantastic. So we're going to talk about that and the different events that you've done. 7 o'clock hour. It's going to be very interesting. We start out with at-large counselor Wynn Falwell. Ooh. And then
former mayor.
Former mayor, former school committee member.
Yeah.
Now at large.
He knows Brockton.
He does. We're going to talk with him a little bit. And
I think
then
he was police and police chief.
He was police sergeant.
Yeah, he did it all.
Sergeant, he's done a lot. He really has. So he'll be part of our conversation at 7. Then I'm pointing at you, Ben. I know radio is not a visual medium, and the folks at home cannot see it.
I love his shirt.
You like that?
Yeah. It's so awesome, Boston.
We're all Boston today, boys.
Boston strong.
Gotta remember. Sports is off the charts.
Yeah, off the charts. And so we've got, do you realize that tonight we are going to have, we're going to speak with three individuals who have hoisted, between them, four Stanley Cups. Who am I talking about? NHL great Kevin Stevens.
Oh.
Okay. Now Kevin's not necessarily coming here to talk about winning cups with Pittsburgh, but he has a new radio show called Cross Check Radio. And it's the title isn't necessarily indicative of what the focus of the format of the show is. But we're going to talk about that with Alex Bezanson, who is the chairman of the Hug Foundation.
Yep.
He's got an upcoming tournament coming up as well. He's got a lot of tie-ins to the Boston Bruins alumni. So we have...
He's the Abington Bezanson, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. Yep. There's so many Bezansons.
Yeah, it's, interesting.
But, so we got two members of the 1970 Boston Bruins Stanley Cup winners, Don Ulrich, who I've interviewed, and Ricky Smith. I'm going to talk with them. And actually, Don, if we're lucky to get him, he's going to be at the Garden. We're going to get an idea. We're going to, through him, vicariously find out what the atmosphere is like for game one.
I'm turning 60 this year, so yeah. I was 10. You're not old enough to remember.
Not old enough, but I was. I'm just a couple of clicks younger than you.
Okay, yeah.
I was a toddler. I remember more 72 than I do 70.
Yeah.
A little more cognizant.
It was pretty wild.
And a lot of people were jumping around my grandmother's living room about the excitement. But
it was just so legendary.
And we'll get into that.
Hey, it's Jeff.
And today I'm working for the constituents in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Listen to me. If these smarty pants up on Beacon Hill can tell adults they can't have flavored tobacco products, rest assured, they can tell you what flavored vodka, whiskey schnapps, or malted beverages. I'll be damned I'm going to sit by the wayside and let this horrendous legislation pass. It goes too far, and it hurts adults' right to choose. Call your reps and senators and tell them you oppose all flavor bans on all adult products.
Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Brockton Fire Department's Pipes and Drums Band, Amazing Grace, that is from a ceremony held today at the Brockton City Hall as folks gathered, of course, parade stepping off from the Moore Memorial Building. And as I said, Tony O'Brien here, Tony, who is a retired member of the service, Navy SEALs, Marines too, correct?
Yeah, did a tour in the Marines before I went to the Navy, yeah.
Someone who works with veterans and is very active. Tony does stints on Greg Brasso's Thursday Night Show.
Yeah, right. That was the last time I was in here, I don't know, a month ago. Yeah. And he just had his big Sunday Memorial Day event on the train.
Yeah, he does. It was great. Well, he does a great job as far as representing veterans again and getting voices out there. When we had the wall here last summer, I know that he did a stint. There was a radio program that was up there.
I listen to ATD a lot, and I got to tell you, I'm not trying to pander here because I'm in your house, but there's a lot of information I get from this station, multiple shows. You don't get anywhere else. You just don't. That's why I'm such a fan and listener and do anything I can.
Well, and I appreciate it. Anytime that I've asked you to do something, you front and center. You're more than willing to get. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be about a holiday like Memorial Day or something that has to do with the military. We've had different conversations
debates,
conversations, you name it. Just regular conversations. And so when I thought, I had talked to you a few weeks ago and said, you know, Memorial Day is coming up, and I really want, because I know you you are somebody who attends so many, and there's been times that you actually have led the call. I think you have been like, I think the for the Tri-Town, the Veterans Day Parade, I think there was one that was in Whitman that you actually had the call of it, did you not?
Several times.
Abington.
I've been asked to be a speaker at a few places. Yep. One of my favorites was in Hingham a couple years ago. I heard you guys feature the Hingham event today, which was super. Keith, of course, is one of the best in the business at Veteran Services.
The importance of Memorial Day.
Mm.
Do you think people recognize and realize the importance? I mean, 'cause I was seeing things on social media today, and I still get amazed. Sometimes, you know, people are, I don't know, they live in a certain headspace and don't recognize. I mean, myself, I took time Sunday to go and be a part of a church service that, that recognized those who died, those who, you know, the reason why we're free, because they gave their lives so willingly.
Yeah, we went to church yesterday at North River Community Church in Pembroke, where we go, and they did a nice little testimony. Marine, Afghan veteran, lost three of his platoon mates in combat, killed in action in Afghanistan the last couple of years. Tough to see, you know, young guy. Tough to see that up there. He went up, did a little testimony, led a prayer. And I was seated a few seats away from the Bean family, Cheryl and Dana. And, of course, they lost their son, Matt, who's a KIA Combat Middle East. You know, this isn't World War II Korea stuff. This is yesterday.
Modern day, right?
Yeah, and it's hard. And it's hard when you, you know, you're sitting there in church and you got your two little kids running around, two sons. And, you know, they're there a few seats over and, you know, their son's gone. And, you know, then and right now, I mean, if I keep going, I'll start crying because it's hard. But you got to circle back around to why we do what we do. But it's about them. You know, you hate to sound like cliche, but it's so powerful. You know, freedom isn't free. And we can, as I said at Duval and as the VFW model says, you know, we honor the dead by helping the living. So we do this. You know, we get the word out. We represent. And back to your first point, I do believe, there's no doubt in my mind. I get it everywhere I go. Now, I'm into this. So as you know, I don't leave the house without a Navy ball cap, jacket, whatever. All right, I'm into representing. I'm not over the top, but there's something where you can see what's going on.
It's a sense of pride.
Yeah, well, but the thing, without question, but you know, I implore veterans to do that as much as they can. Only 6% of the American public are veterans. That's a good thing. I mean, you know, I challenge any veteran to call. You know, nobody wants peace on earth and no military more than a veteran. I'd love that all day. I mean, I'm showing a little bit of my Christian side too, but. It is what it is, and you know, it's been around for a long time, thousands of years, and it's not going anywhere. And if somebody's got to go and do what we got to do, I'll be, you know, here I am, Lord, send me.
During today's ceremony in Brockton, Mayor Carpenter, who I believe his dad is a World War II veteran, I got a cut here. If you could, Ben, cut C is the mayor talking about visiting, and you know, he does it with frequency, visiting the veterans at the VA.
Yeah, I was here this afternoon.
If you will, please play that cut C.
It's unbelievable the turnout that we have here this morning, and I appreciate each and every one of you being here. As I've spent some time over at the VA medical campus over the last few months, and it's really given me pause to think about the sacrifices that have been made by those who defended our freedom and our liberty on the battlefield. And today we remember those who are fallen and the ultimate sacrifice that they made. But as I spend time with many of the other vets, many of the disabled vets, I can see the lifelong sacrifice that they've made also, and that more than anyone, they remember their comrades that did not make it back home. So it's critically important that today we take the time, amidst all the holiday weekend, to just pause and reflect upon the price that was paid, not just by those who have fallen, but by their families and their loved ones. It's a sacrifice that's made for a long time by an entire family. If you spend a little time with a Gold Star mother or Gold Star family, you'll realize the price that was paid.
It's a powerful message.
Yeah, and I think you'll agree with me. You're around it more than I am nowadays. I'm spending so much time with my kids. There's a small amount of phonies that are in public service and politics, especially. Mayor Carpenter's not one of them. He's a very, very genuine guy, hardworking, concerned, et cetera. You could tell from what he was speaking that he was speaking from the heart. And that's in my experience, that's the majority of public servants and elected officials in this area.
But the point that he had made, and again, knowing that you interact with veterans all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I love the city. I grew up there. I worked there.
You're a Northside guy, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, right off Oak Street. It's a great city. We're there all the time. We do the kids' road races on Saturdays. Yep. By the way, Dave did a little national anthem and the flag and the kids and everything. I was able to be part of the ceremony. It's all over the place. He just, including in Brockton, which gets a bad rap, and it doesn't deserve it, honestly.
But him saying that, the mayor mentioning that, in fact, that these veterans who are still living with the loss of their comrades, how often do you hear from individuals who were fighting side by side with somebody who, they were going in somewhere, they had a hill to take, or there was a mission, and they were lucky to survive. Almost like Saving Private Ryan, that movie. Yeah.
No, I get it every day. Every day. Now, of course, that's accentuated by Facebook and social media and all that, so that's a big source of it, because I'm in contact with guys all over the world. I personally get it and see it every day, and somebody made the comment earlier that, and especially for Gold Star families like McPhillips and Bean and others that are in this great region, Memorial Day is every day. I mean, I'm lucky in that in my combat tours, I didn't lose anybody in my unit, but I certainly know plenty of guys that have been lost. And it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you're supposed to be a big, bad, tough guy and all that stuff, but it's tough. It's tough. And, if you dwell on it too long, it'll drive you nuts, so you can't. And then you got to circle back around. For me, I circle back around to that faith place, and then just kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other and helping more vets and honor the dead by helping the living. And it's all a crazy, vicious psychological circle. And I don't know, if you don't have a couple of those outlets to go to, I don't know how you get through it. And we know that there's a lot of folks that have a hard time getting through it. They self-medicate. The booze, the drugs, suicide, etc. And it's
tough.
I hate the phrase. I can imagine. I can't imagine. I can only imagine like a little bit.
Mm.
As far as those folks go, man, that level of depression and everything. God love them.
Ben, did you have something to input?
I did. I just wanted to say that's why we got involved with the Group 22 Kill. They came by and they were great guys. They had a great message. And any chance that I get, I always like to spread the same message that you guys are talking about now, the same one Veterans Voice does every single week, day in, day out. All those guys are great. And it's an honor on our end to be able to help further any message you guys want to do, especially as far as helping veterans and getting the services that have been earned. Like Chuck says, every single week, it's all about getting the veteran what they deserve. And quite frankly, for us to be able to honor that.
And veterans and everybody in public service can't do it without the support of the public, citizens, taxpayers, all that. Is that the 22 group that's got the event coming up soon?
I believe it is.
They got a fundraising event coming up. I got it on my calendar. I forget the details, but I'll look it up.
Definitely. Your two boys are growing quicker.
Yeah.
Every time I see them, oh my God, they're sprouting.
They're fabulous.
And being a family guy, I know you're spending more time with them. Were you able to get out to enough events this year? Were you able to bounce to? What were some of the events you were able to get to?
Yeah, Stacy and I are able to juggle our schedules. She's an overnight nurse at Mass General. I've got my two part-time jobs, which fortunately I've got a lot of flexibility with. So this weekend, I kind of clear my calendar. And of course, did Duvall on Friday,
that's
Saturday.
That's in Whitman, Duvall Elementary School. Just for folks who are listening, Duvall, what are they talking about?
Sorry.
That's on me.
Yep, no, it's good. You're right. it's all like you and I are sitting around having coffee. I forget, that we got
that's the whole idea of the show.
Listening, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's like acronyms. You're not supposed to spell them out. You're right. Yeah, Duval Elementary School got asked to do their thing years ago. I once in a while I get asked, "So how long have you been doing this?" I don't know. It's like 7, 8, 9 years. It's really a really cool gig, and I'm blessed to have it. Saturday, cemeteries did some flag decorating, grave decorations in cemeteries. The big one that the Girl Scouts did a fantastic job was the Medal of Honor, John Fox gravesite in Whitman at Colebrook, which is fabulous and looked great for this morning's festivities. And then, of course, on Saturday, too, did the kids' road races. Dave did the anthem and the flag and really did a little Memorial Day thing. The fire truck showed up. I mean, the fire department, police department are just incredible supporters. And it's truly a brotherhood for us. And then Sunday, we had the cemetery in Bourne, where we had the big state ceremony at the Bourne National Cemetery on the Cape. And then, of course, today we had many parades all over the place. Nobody does a great, better job of highlighting than you guys, really. And Fontaine and German, and just we had an all-star team of veteran service officers in this region. Also went to the VA after that and had lunch with some vets and served some lunch. They love it when you wear your uniform and you're serving the old guys. And it's sad because some of these guys are in bad shape. They're in beds out at a barbecue. They're in wheelchairs, and mm-hmm. It's very humbling. And then wrapping up the weekend here with you, my friend.
If we can, he'll recognize this gentleman almost immediately. Could you play me, Ben, Cut B, please?
On the spot.
And please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And of course, that's none other than the Silver Fox himself,
George
Cataldo.
Yeah.
George, who is
talk about a legend.
Talk about World War II.
I think he's the end of World War II. Yeah,
World War II, end of World War II.
Oh, he's up there. Or.
Served as a city councilor.
Yeah, he's a stud,
and they call him the Silver Fox because, boy, can that guy sing.
Still singing. Still doing gigs.
I remember back in the day when I first got into radio.
I think he still works at City Hall Park.
He does. Too. Oh, they do. They have out there entertaining from time to time. Yeah. They'll have the entertainment system up and he'll sing tunes. I remember going into BET back in the day.
BET.
That's where this is. Wow. And of course, it's now.
Damn.
Now it's now called WBMS. Of course, WATD. It's part of.
ATD is now.
We own
broadcasting through there.
We will be. Yeah. It's a sister station, 1460 cool. AM. We'll have a FM translator. But back in the day when it was BET, Brockton Enterprise and Times, I would frequent the place. I'd go in on a Friday, and George would have a line around the corner, and people would go in and actually sing on air with George.
He did the lunchtime show.
He did the lunchtime show. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Many moons ago.
And then Christo's.
Yes.
With Jerry.
Two for the gold room, please.
Yeah, Mr. Zaganis.
Yes.
Of course, Christo's is still in Whitman, so I go there for takeout.
Yeah, his daughter's
fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, Christo's to go.
Yeah.
So I thought I would at least make sure I connected the dots there real quick with little George Cataldo. And
well, hats off to you. You mentioned Brockton and the Brockton event. Dave Farrell in Brockton, the Veterans Service Officer, another all-star, just a super guy, Marine Corps Vietnam vet, and just super duper rep of the city.
Let's get more into talking about Veterans Day and things that everything that is Memorial Day. In a moment, we'll step aside. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk with my good friend Tony O'Brien, retired Navy SEAL and all-around good guy. We'll be right back in a moment.
Roger that, sir.
The family that brought the 54-foot mahogany bar to McWiggins Pub in Whitman now brings a dining experience like no other. The patio at McWiggins. Dine al fresco while watching one of the 7 55-inch monitors or the 9-foot video wall. You'll enjoy a different dining experience at the patio with a totally different menu. Eat, drink, and socialize at the patio at McWiggins. And don't forget McWiggins Pub next door, located at 546 Washington Street in downtown Whitman.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
South Shore Live is on a quest to uncover the best the South Shore has to offer. Join Stan and the gang tonight from 8 to 10 in partnership with South Shore Magazine and sponsored by the South Shore Music Circus. South Shore Live tonight from 8 to 10 on 95.9 WATD. Hey! This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Why do we pause to remember this Memorial Day? The men and women of our armed forces who have served this country at home and abroad during all the years of our nation's independence. It's a great and sacred trust that brings us together, Lord, on this day set aside for remembrance. It is a remembrance worth making, a day of tribute to those who gave their lives in defense of all that America stands for. To memorialize the dead is to pay homage not only to the fallen, but also to their spirit of sacrifice and valor. The loss of these valiant men and women tears the very fabric of the family and the nation. We pray for all veterans, those in good health and those wounded still in hospitals around the world fighting to regain their health. We pray for those still held prisoner of war on foreign soil, or who are listed as missing in action. Truly, all of these veterans are America's first and finest citizens. They've proven it. We commend them to you, Heavenly Father. Those who have left for us a priceless heritage, which serves as part of the life and freedom we now enjoy. We ask this in your name. Amen.
And that is Bill Sheehan. He is with the Whitman VFW Post 697. He is the chaplain. That's my understanding. That's a cut from... their service. So I guess I jump right back in talking with Tony O'Brien, who is our guest for this first portion of our show. And I think I want to take a half a second here also just to kind of mention, and I should have done it at the earlier part. Interesting enough, we talked Brockton, who we were talking a little bit earlier, is a gentleman who, Bill Buckner. Anybody who pays attention to
sports,
Bill Buckner was the, everybody knows for the 1986 ball between the legs, but if you speak to Chicago Cubs fans, they loved him because he was just such a hitter, such a go-getter.
Yeah.
He was their version of Pete Rose, so to speak. He was just a hustler and a grinder.
Back in the 3 days when Boston was getting the crap kicked out of us. And the kids nowadays,
you can even
have no
sniff
idea.
A championship.
Yeah.
I mean, they would make it to the championship, you know, whatever the sport was. But
a lot of great individual athletes, but
yeah,
difficult getting a title.
But Bill passing away from a form of dementia. And I had this reporter here, I had a chance to interview him a bunch of times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, when he was with the Brockton Rocks, because he came on with the Brockton Rocks for 1 year.
Oh, that's right.
For 1 year. And
that's right.
The
Rocks are great.
Yeah.
It's a great team.
And then they decided to retool the whole league, and they went from being a semi-professional baseball league to being almost like the Cape Cod League.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like it's a collegiate type of a thing. But
which is another great league.
Yeah. But he was in and around the city a lot, and so it's interesting. He passed away at the age of 69, so I want to at least make that notation.
Oh, he's that young.
Oh, yeah, he was that young. Good guy. He was a quiet guy. He was like the interviews would go, like, they'd be like 2 or 3 minutes, and it was just like, you know, when you do an interview, you want to make sure that, like, if I ask you a question, Tony, you'll give me a couple of good paragraphs. You give me a lot of meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
To really
Yes, no.
He's kind of like, yeah, he was the type of guy who...
Yeah, that could be a little painful.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well,
could you elaborate? Yeah, I think I said I don't think so. That was, yeah. Yeah, then I don't think so. It was kind of me elaborating. So, okay.
I remember watching Carson and Leno where they had, you know, guests like that. I was like, oh, Lord, so painful.
No, but, thoughts and prayers to his family, because we did have a chance to meet his family when they were in and around the city of Brockton. So
After Oil Can Boyd?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, certainly was.
They've had some characters.
Definitely, they have. I mean, they're still relevant, and I believe that that we are going to, WATD is going to be broadcasting, we're doing some broadcasts. This show will also be at Campanelli Stadium. We do it every year. We go...
Opening game? Thursday?
No, not opening game, but we'll go, you know, some Monday night. We'll be there, cool. And we'll speak to a lot of... And, you know, it's...
Your show.
My show, Monday Night Talk. You know, it's election season, so...
In Brockton.
Yeah. Yeah, over 2 years.
A lot going on in those elections, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. Mayor's race, yep. Councilors. Yeah, very... it's heating up already.
And it's only May.
It's classic medium-sized city politics. Mm. Yeah.
Class B form of government. But again, we're back at...
that hat again. Class B form government.
Yeah, of all the events that you attend and you hear all the different tributes, you ever have a time when you're at an event and somebody just puts it so eloquently that it you well up? You're like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I'll tell you, that's one of the great things about Duvall, is that another interesting thing about it is the kids run the whole ceremony. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, fourth, fifth graders are up there, you know, MC. Okay, and our next speaker will be, she's going to come up and read a poem. Somebody's going to come up and read a Gettysburg Address, and the kids are doing it. And you're looking around, you're seeing the teachers, their pride's incredible. Then you look in the back of the room, well, the back of the gym, and, you know, the parents and the grandparents, it's like, wow, it's just like, this is America. I mean, this is Norman Rockwell. And they do it so well. But I've been to a lot of schools, a lot of different events, and yeah, and especially when you start getting into, you know, like today, I mean, I ended up kind of falling into the duties of helping Bob Wessa around. And Bob was one of our grand marshals, getting in and out of the car, coming up, laying a wreath and stuff. 91 years old, frail, walking with a cane, didn't want to fall over, and just in his uniform, wearing his medals, and like, wow, you know, still doing it. I mean, we both could have been at the beach this morning. I can't even imagine, right. You know? No problem. No, we were there doing the job and representing, and we had a great crowd in Whitman. We had hundreds of people, and Whitman's an interesting journey, because the parade, the first half of the parade is like a classic parade with a little ceremony thing in the middle.
Yeah, town hall, yep.
But it breaks up, then it reforms, you know, which is a little bit of, you know, herding cats. But then the second half of it, on the back half, is like this jumping around the town park and the cemetery from monument to monument, and like hundreds of people follow us around and do that. And it was starting to get hot this morning at 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I was really impressed. You could see it, people getting sunburned, moms and little babies and kids, and they stayed with us. It was great.
But they redo the route? They used to go up to the World War One arch up at the fire station. Did
they went back to that. Yep.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, last year they shortened it, which actually I liked, and I wish they'd do that. I wish they shortened this course. It's a good workout.
Right. So then they come down, and then they head over to the Colebrook.
They decided to go back to that, and they did that. They did go back to Colebrook.
Yeah, go to Colebrook, and then usually there's a speech there, and then they come across over to the flagpole.
And of course, a big feature of Colebrook now across the street is that beautiful new police station.
Right.
You got the kids' ball field right next door, and then of course right there you got the pond and the VFW and Lieutenant Fox's gravesite, Medal of Honor. It's huge.
But then you get the flagpole, and then from the flagpole it's the Civil War monument.
Yep, right? Gorgeous statue.
And then down and away is the All Wars monument.
Yes,
right? That's the last.
I've got a scroll of pictures that I just sent the commander of the VFW. Post. I just sent 10. You just walked through my whole roll of pictures.
Yeah. Did I really? Okay.
Yeah.
I've covered the event numerous times.
I've been to parades all over the region. I mean, you highlighted Rockland, you highlighted Hingham. I've been in those parades. They're fabulous. You highlighted Brockton. Mm. Your station does a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Brockton kind of shortened theirs, because they used to step off of the War Memorial. They'd go up West Elm, come down Newbury,
okay, as you're heading south.
Belmont.
Come down Belmont, basically heading east on Belmont. And then it would be you'd hook a left and you'd stay on Main until you get to Legion Parkway.
Yep. Loop around.
And then you'd go up Legion Parkway to the All Wars Monument,
yep.
Right? They no longer do that. Now what they do is it's kind of like a little S. They bang a quick left onto Main Street, quick right onto Crescent, and then they come down to the VFW right to the back of City Hall.
We have to shorten the. I believe we have to shorten the routes. I mean, you just can't say, well, you know, there's too many blocks where there's not enough spectators. Okay, well then shorten the route, and especially with we've got more. More older people that are still doing it, and it's tough on them. The kids are the kids. I mean, we had a ton of scouts in Whitman today, Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Ton of them. There must have been 100 of them all together. Just fabulous, fabulous showing. That is, it's inspiring. It just is. The parents and the troop leaders that are you know, teaching those kids the values and all, it's inspiring. It really is.
How about the confusion, though, between Memorial Day and Veterans Day? Because I sometimes hear people going, oh, don't forget to thank a veteran. And while that's all well and good, I think it's more so to say, hey, let's remember those veterans who were no longer with us.
Yeah, there's a distinction, and it's important to
But do you think there's a confusion, or do you think that is there a way to kind of better educate our population as to the differences between the two?
Well, that's what we do. That's what we're doing here. That's what you guys have been doing all weekend. But... you know, one of the things I like, and you know, I don't agree with this. Who do you and I agree with all the time? I mean, you know, we're thinkers, and we want to challenge each other with how we're thinking. But there's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the fact that some people like get too comfortable and take their freedoms for granted, it's kind of like, I mean, is that like totally bad? Think about how successful we are as a country. If there's a huge amount of people that feel that way, we must be doing something right. All right. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, lower the bar on what we're trying to do with getting the word out and marketing, you know, the veterans' causes and you know, the patriotism and the freedoms and everything else. You don't got to be a freedom to be patriot. I got plenty of friends and people that I work with who are not veterans that are incredible patriots and in fact do a lot more for veterans than most veterans do. So I'm not, you know, I'm not discriminating against, you know, non-veterans. There's a ton of, you know, patriotic Americans out there that didn't serve in the military.
But I feel that there's a confusion, and that sometimes, it's frustrating. And to me, I'm somebody who I did not take the path of being in the military, but I fully support anybody who has done it and recognize it. And, you know, sometimes I go overboard because, you know what, I'm appreciative. But then to see the confusion and sometimes the frustration and, you know, and not just my frustration, but the gentleman who we played earlier, George Cataldo, who I've numbered times gone to. I'm like, how do you feel about it as far as the turnout? And I sometimes hear him get frustrated. And so maybe sometimes I'm channeling, you know, some of the veterans' frustration as to folks not understanding or paying attention.
There's a lot of important things going on in the world that you and I need to be frustrated about and exercise that frustration to solve problems and do things better. We add to the confusion. You know, it's Veterans Day. And what's one of the first things we do? Remember those who've gone before and paid the ultimate sacrifice. Wait a minute. It's not normal. That's kind of what we do. Some of us do it every day. So we add to the confusion, but I don't think it's a major problem. There's just the fact that we're having this discussion. I mean, the amount of successful events that happened today. I mean, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
We're doing this trek throughout all of Whitman Center today. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah. Many communities. Yeah.
There's little pockets of confusion. I don't think it's a big deal.
Know what we see on the federal level when you talk politics and when you're talking about our president or Congress.
Ugh.
Yeah. Any worry that what goes on politically at the higher level could somehow have an effect on holidays like Memorial Day?
Well, there you go again, Kevin. Yeah, that's tricky. I mean, I'm a conservative. I'm also a registered Republican. I work for the party. I help colleagues who are like-minded. I've got many friends across the aisle, too. Don't get me wrong. I respect them. Like them. But I do lean conservative. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that if, he's certainly not perfect. There's no question about it. And I want to meet the Republican or the conservative that wants to say the current president is perfect. However, we saw it with the last president, President Obama, and the direction I'm going is, what if she had gotten elected? Okay, and I said it, I say it with the, at least minimal amount of respect, and I mean that sincerely. But you know, that's where both sides go. You know, we do that. The other side goes, oh, he's in office now, and so yeah, and they have an opportunity to influence policy. I mean, and for a lot of us, I think on both sides, you know, Supreme Court, huge issue, whereby they do impact, you know, major policies, right. And it can be for more than just a few years. So yeah, it's a concern. It's by the way, that's the reason why I am involved in politics, public service, etc., to try to be a, an influencer.
Make a difference?
Yeah.
Make a difference?
Yeah, totally. I don't have to, but I do because those things are important to me, and not just for, you know, where I come from, but also where my kids are going. You know, we can agree to disagree on some things, like some of the folks that you're going to have in the next hour. I know them all, and I respect them. Just we disagree on some
You things. Are welcome if you want to stay for the Wynn Farwell piece. You're Ooh. Welcome to.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I got to go home to my kids, honestly.
Okay.
But I greatly appreciate it.
And how are they doing?
They're super. 5 and 7, kindergarten and second grade. Doing well. I'm doing homework every night. We're doing a work. In fact, I'm going to get over to the house and do a little workout with them. Do a quick little jog around the yard, around the neighborhood, because we do the kids' road races with Dave.
Sure, yeah.
On Saturdays. And then do some homework and tuck them in. I love it. There's nothing I love better. I've done some cool stuff in my background. The coolest by far. Not pandering to you, but you and others that are good friends that have been phenomenal dads. Dad is the best. I love it. It can be frustrating, no question about it. But it's more joy than not.
And it goes without saying that how proud of a dad you are, because since they were little, I mean, you'd be out and about everywhere with them.
Yeah, well, some of that's just kind of necessity, too. I mean, she's a hard worker. She works at the hospital, so, you know, it's either that or the babysitter, and, you know, sometimes it is the babysitter, but sometimes if I can't take them, I do. And now they're at the point where, you know, I can give them a book, I can give them, the math workbook, whatever, and, you know, sit in the corner during my meeting for an hour, and they'll do it. And
well, how's that new math treating you?
That issue's overrated. It
you
really
think so?
Is. Oh Lord, we just I did 20. I did it last night with my kid. 20. 20. I was doing it. 28 plus 29. Okay. Well, let's see. 30 plus 30 is 60. 28 is 2 away. 29 is 1 away. 57.
It's like a critical. It's a critical thinking thing. Yeah.
I mean, that's
they do the same thing with multiplication. Like so you've did.
Yes, I learned the one way. Yeah. Okay. You know what they're teaching them? They're teaching them like 3 or 4 different ways to do a problem. And what they'll tell you is, I'm just telling you, what they'll tell you is that different kids think differently, so let them pick the way that works best for them. Is that such a bad idea?
Just show you work.
Well, of course.
Show you work.
But I mean, honestly, I just want you to get the right answer.
But here's the question, though, is and you can answer to this, and that is are they penalized if, let's say, if you showed them the old school way of doing 200 times 125? What if you showed them that way?
Not from what I've seen so far. Okay. Not with my kids' work. The second grader, he's doing, you know, serious math. In fact, I've got him doing multiplication and division, and they've just started that. We've been working on it for months, so he's competent to a higher level than what they're doing in the class yet. Just because he's taking to it. So I'm just kind of nudging him. To do that, but I definitely see the criticism because it can be confusing. But and then some of us are older and we're set in our ways. You know, we don't do outside the box very well, and I get that too. You know, it's the psychology of the ages and different generations, etc. But the most importantly, that they get the answer that they're supposed to get and understand the reason why. I mean, because they're also doing a great job with different problems, not just the numbers plus the numbers, but also, you know, this number of that, you're running a store, you're doing your inventory. I mean, So some people say, well, I never use that. I don't know what you're doing, but I do sentence structure. I do writing. I do math every day. I do. So other people aren't doing that. I don't know what they're doing for work or in their lives. But
sometimes you have to know what X equals. That's all I'm going to leave you with. Tony, I want to thank you very much for coming in. Tony O'Brien Sr. here in the house this evening.
Thank you,
joining us to chat about the importance of Memorial Day. Anything you want to kind of say in closing?
I looked it up, and Ben reminded me. Kill 22, the fundraiser that's helping get out the word and raise money for suicide prevention, etc., is that on June 1st at Pins. Pins is the function room at the bowling place, party place.
It's down in Kingston.
In Kingston.
Independent. Yep. Yeah,
and it's on June 1st. I want to say it's 1 o'clock, but look it up. They're
it's
on the internet.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Coming Saturday.
We did talk about that, and we tickled it. I just wanted to complete the thought.
Nope. Again, always glad to cross-promote other shows. Last week we had Mikey G on talking about the Americanorama show, and that podcast, by the way, is up from last week, just so folks know. And if you missed this conversation that we had with Tony, we do our best to put the podcast up so you can hear them. And we're over 915 podcasts in the 9 years that we've been on air here.
9 years?
9 years. Well, I think under the helm, it's been 9 years. Don't forget there was a precursor. There was a Bon Scott who was behind the microphone before.
I like that you keep Mayor Hedlund on the intro. That's that impressive lineup you have, Kevin.
Yeah, it was a tongue-in-cheek thing that he was saying.
Yeah, well,
so
that's his dry humor.
Bob, love having Bob on from time to time.
Smart guy.
We're actually going to have, a mayor conference.
We did that
a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Bob Sullivan, Tom Koch, Billy Carpenter, all of them in here.
That's a good lineup. That's a bunch of smart guys.
Yeah. We're looking forward to that. So we're going to step aside. On the other side, don't forget, we can talk Boston Bruins, and we got at-large counselor Wynn Farwell warming up in the bullpen as we speak. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
The family that brought the 54-foot mahogany bar to McWiggins Pub in Whitman now brings a dining experience like no other. The patio at McWiggins. Dine al fresco while watching one of the 755-inch monitors or the 9-foot video wall. You'll enjoy a different dining experience at the patio with a totally different menu. Eat, drink, and socialize at the patio at McWiggins. And don't forget McWiggins Pub next door, located at 546 Washington Street in downtown Whitman.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome opening day. Pembroke Titans softball.
Okay, Addie, you got this. Just relax.
I know, Dad.
First batter coming to the plate.
I know, Hattie, but just keep your eye on the ball.
Dad, relax. I do got this.
I know, Hattie. Remember, don't swing at the first pitch.
Daddy!
And here's the pitch. That is a fair... In fact, that's a home run!
Sorry about your windshield, Dad.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome. I'm keeping the inspection sticker for a souvenir.
Windshield broken by a home run? Call Tiny first. 1-888-64-TINYS.
That's my Hattie.
Friends with Benefits, Wednesday nights at 9 on WATD. Join the roundtable as they explore everything from relationships and social issues to life stories, sports, and events. It's Brian Stratton's Friends with Benefits with your hosts, Paul Kearney, Gabe Sirota, and Bob Anderson. Proudly sponsored by Atlantis Sports Clubs and Corey Brothers Stump Grinding. Wednesday nights at 9 on 95.9 WATD.
Monday night.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Great. Back for hour number two. Live program. No recordings here. And we're proud of it to be here in studio and serving you, the public, whether you're on your way home from the Cape. Maybe we're lucky enough to have you on while you're cooking up some dogs on the grill. Just to keep it in mind, don't forget that you miss any of these segments, these podcasts. We are on Podbean. Just search Monday Night Talk. Feel free to download and like the podcast. Make your comments if you want. Want to know that you're at least paying attention, whether you like the guest or not. It's not necessarily the important part, but, you know, we know that people are out there checking it out. And if you have suggestions for future guests, we welcome that as well. MondayNightTalk@gmail.com. And if you can't find, if you're struggling with Google, because Google can be your friend if you use it correctly, you go to our website, 959watd.com. And as you scroll down on the homepage, you'll see the Monday Night Talk banner. You click on that. Oh, my goodness. That is, you'll find a plethora of podcasts and information about the program. So it's that easy. Joining us right now, as he was busy earlier today, taking part in festivities, City of Brockton, honoring those who gave the supreme sacrifice. So we have at-large counselor in the city of Brockton, Wynn Falwell, joining us. Counselor, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Hope you and your family had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, and I know that you attended. What were the services like today? We actually had Tony O'Brien here earlier, and Tony was talking about, you know, attending various events, including being in Brockton. So, and we actually had some sound that we were able to get from the festivities. What was it like for you? Do you feel that we had a good turnout for Memorial Day?
You know, it's not the turnout that you probably would have had 20 or 25 years ago, but yes, it was very good. And it was a cross mix of people from different generations. Because I don't think we should ever forget what our veterans have sacrificed for us. The interesting part of the program at City Hall Plaza for me is looking out at the ROTC cadets from Brockton High School. And I, you know, I suppose as a father and grandfather, you know, you're looking at the young people, many of whom will go into the armed forces. They will be on the front lines for us. They will be the future defense mechanisms for this country, and to look out at them and to realize what's ahead of them and some of the challenges that may come their way, it gives you pause to think about you know, the world as it is today and how it changes almost every day.
We love having members of many of the communities that we serve. It doesn't have to be Brockton, whether it's Whitman, the Bridgewaters, Plymouth, Marshfield, Scituate, but it's fantastic that we have individuals from Brockton, the city council, who join us on a regular basis, like yourself. And we know it's your favorite time of year is right around the corner, and that is the annual budget. And I say that, of course, tongue-in-cheek, but I know it's probably one of the toughest parts of the job is sitting down and looking at the numbers. You know, I know the mayor puts out his budget this year. Instead of having John Condon, you actually have Troy Clarkson, who is the new CFO, who's at the helm of this. Are we expecting any surprises when the city council does its annual hearings for the budget?
Well, I think the only surprise will be that the councilors will go through the budget books, which were delivered Friday to us, very carefully, because you need to make sure that as much revenue as possible is directed towards the priorities that the residents want. And that's in Brockton, it's certainly, and we've heard it loud and clear, is public safety, repairing our streets, making sure that we have the finest educational programs and staff for our kids in the public schools. But one of the best kept secrets, and I would suspect this is true of even though Brockton is a city, it's true of the towns. Probably 90 to 95% of the annual budget is non-discretionary. Now, what do I mean by non-discretionary? It's really required because you have collective bargaining agreements with all of your different union groups, whether it's administrative staff, police, fire, schools. Then you have your built-in requirements to fund transportation for public school students. Then you have things like electricity, fuel oil, gasoline. So when all is said and done, if you looked at our $450 million budget, only a very, very small portion of that is discretionary. And that's where you bore down into the details and make sure that if, for some reason, some appropriation has been allocated to a purpose by the mayor, that it's consistent with what the public wants, consistent with improving the quality of life for our residents and doing what they want us to do. And you've heard me say this many times. When you sit in your seat as a counselor, you're actually sitting there on behalf of the residents. And so what they want, their priorities, their issues are really what we're supposed to focus on.
Now, my understanding is that folks who've looked over this, that this budget, say that there's some conversation in regards to the old DA's building on Belmont Street and a possibility of maybe a couple of city departments could be housed there. Am I hearing things correctly, or is this incorrect?
No, that is a paragraph in the budget book, something that the mayor is looking to do. Okay. Obviously, the details will be what's important. For example, if we're going to do this, what are the long-term plans for that building with the county? Because we wouldn't want to locate there and then suddenly find out that perhaps they have some other plans a year or two down the road. How much will it cost to renovate that building to make it acceptable for any city departments that happen to go there? Will we be paying rent to the county for use of that building? So all of those things are going to have to be thoroughly discussed. And as a matter of fact, budget hearings start on June 3rd. They'll be June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. in the City Council Chamber. I'm almost certain that they will be covered by Brockton Community Access, so that people who cannot, don't have the time to come down to City Hall, they'll be able to watch it on local cable. And it's really important because, you know, it's their money. I can't emphasize enough, we wouldn't have government. We wouldn't have money to appropriate if it weren't for the residents who send in their tax payments, their water and sewer payments, their state income taxes, even their federal income taxes help fund the grants that we receive periodically. So, you know, it's all the men and women in the community that make it possible for us to do what we do.
You know, talking about this particular, the DA's building there over on, I think it's the corner of Cottage and Belmont Street, or actually it's more so on Belmont Street. Wasn't it not too long ago that the city actually bought the old bank on Crescent Street, and actually now it has the Board of Health and part of the school department housed in it?
Yes, it's diagonally across from the Crosby Administration Building where the school administration is located, 43 Crescent Street. And I think we have the Parent Registration Center there. We have the Board of Health there. But obviously any study should look at several different things. One, would it improve services for our residents? Two, would there be adequate parking if you're going to move particular departments down into that area? And three, would it have the space needs for the respective departments? And I guess finally would be the cost. And, you know, some of your listeners may get tired of hearing Farwell always talk about cost, but we're not a rich city, and we really have to watch where every dollar goes. And I'm not hyping that up at all. Every year we're constrained in what we would like to do, simply because we don't have the revenue base that other communities have.
Well, see, I don't know if I want to tackle this now that I know and that we've touched on a tender spot talking about expenditures, because there's also a conversation ongoing about a new police and fire headquarters.
that could cost as much as $80 to $85 million. What's your take on this, knowing that there's going to be a conversation probably within the next 24 hours about money for a feasibility study?
Well, we reached a compromise on that. As you may remember, originally $250,000 was requested in, based on a transfer of funds from DPW snow removal to the planning department. Many of us thought that there was insufficient details to really support that kind of a expenditure. And so we cut it back to $100,000. And many of us spoke about the fact that you need to pick a piece of property where you really think it would be feasible to locate a police and fire campus or a police department or a fire department building, and then do a feasibility study on that. It's having an open checkbook to look at several different parcels when perhaps we don't even have the opportunity to purchase them. We don't know if they're for sale. We don't know what the sale price would be. That just doesn't seem prudent. So I'm hoping that the planning department will drill down on that particular location where they think we have the most opportunity to be successful, do a feasibility study, and then let's build on that information.
But this is going to be a matter of them coming before you for a couple of different asks, because overall it's going to be, I believe, $800,000 for this feasibility study, right?
That is the projected cost, $793,000, but I'm hoping that the message was heard the other evening when we reached compromise that, you know, you've really got to sharpen those pencils and get this down to a manageable figure, because $793,000 would do so much more for some other departments, school department, police department equipment, fire department equipment. And so while we recognize the need, and I certainly do, having served on the police department, that we need a new police facility, we need a new fire, downtown fire station. You know, let's be very cautious. Let's proceed with the best possible opportunities to do something cost-effective and still meet the needs of both of those departments.
Probably one of my final questions I'll ask you in this realm, and again, we are speaking with at-large Brockton City Councilor Wynn Falwell. Knowing that the city is one of many communities that are part of a equity and education lawsuit, and yet there's a project here of a magnitude of almost $85 million to build a public safety campus, does this, could this hurt the case? Or because there are so many other suitors that are part of the lawsuit, it isn't just Brockton, it isn't just New Bedford, but there are so many communities that's part of it. Will it not be seen as an issue?
Well, I think you'd have to look at that from two different vantage points. I think from a legal standpoint, I don't know if that could somewhat reduce our chances to be successful in any educational equity suit. I will say politically, at least for me, I think the optics aren't very good. I mean, it's, you know, if you're arguing that you don't have enough money to really provide the programs and services you need in the schools, but then it becomes public that you're looking at a potential $85 million police and fire campus, I don't know. I think I'll leave that to the legal people to sort out whether that is supportive of what we're trying to do for equity in education or whether it isn't.
Okay. Well, I want again, thank you. I want to thank you for joining us. And before I let you go, maybe I should give you an opportunity to give us your take on how the Bruins are going to do, knowing that the puck's going to be dropping, in about 45 minutes. And we're actually going to have some conversation here. We've got Kevin Stevens, who's here, who's won two cups himself. He's hoisted the cup. We also have, we're expected to speak with Don Ari and Ricky Smith, who are from the 1970s championship team. How do you think this Bruins team's going to do?
I think they're going to win. And this is just me, and I watch them infrequently, I have to admit, because of work and other responsibilities. I think they've been underestimated. I really do. I think that a lot of people kind of dismiss them, and they think, and it goes back to the Bobby Orr era, my era. I think somehow people, in a almost a subconscious way, tried to compare this Bruins team with perhaps teams in the past. And I would caution everyone, including St. Louis, don't fall for that trap. We're coming for you.
Excellent. Counsel, I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening, and I look forward to more conversations down the road.
Excellent. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. We're going to step aside for a moment, and as I've kind of teased a little bit, we got Kevin Stevens is in the house, NHL great. We got Alex Bezanson, who has way too many hats for one head, but we'll just call him the chairman of the Did you cook this? All right, I want to have to add that. We're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, though, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Yes, it's springtime. Time to awaken. Time to consider our relationship with our planet. The average American drives a distance halfway around the Earth each and every year. If you headed east, you're in Italy, just south of Mount Vesuvius. If you headed west, you're at Midway Islands, just south of the Empire Sea Mountains. The point is, volcanic eruptions above and below sea level are tough on cars. So if you got a broken windshield, Tiny comes to you, replaces your windshield, insurance pays. I'm Peter Brown. Usually, we get to where you are just about right away. Just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
The family that brought the 54-foot mahogany bar to McWiggins Pub in Whitman now brings a dining experience like no other. The patio at McWiggins. Dine al fresco while watching one of the 755-inch monitors or the 9-foot video wall. You'll enjoy a different dining experience at the patio with a totally different menu. Eat, drink, and socialize at the patio at McWiggins. And don't forget McWiggins Pub next door, located at 546 Washington Street in downtown Whitman.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Artie is home. Welcome back, number 25, Kevin Stevens. Kevin Stevens wins it in overtime for the Penguins.
Then he goes somewhere else. They jam it. Stevens shoots and he scores. That was a gimme.
Stevens certainly was a hot shot on that one. Ripped that one right over the stick side shoulder of Glenn Healy.
He's absolutely at the top of his game.
He's doing everything right.
He shoots and scores. The hat trick for Kevin Stevens. Oh, no. Eddie Spaghetti. Alone in front. Stevens scores.
Yager throwing in front. Here's a loose puck. Scored by the Penguins. Kevin Stevens. Oh, go ahead. Make my day.
The Penguins prevailed, led by Kevin Stevens, who had a touchdown all by himself.
All right. If that isn't enough pomp circumstance, we'll roll out some more sound cuts. So, of course, we have Kevin Stevens, who is here. Kevin, welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A two-time Stanley Cup winner.
Mm-hmm.
Also was a spoke to be for a season.
Yeah, a little bit.
And host or co-host of Cross Check Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, That's our radio thing, so it's we'll see how it goes. We got a big debut tomorrow, so we'll see how this goes.
Right,
Alex has been great. You know, and Lisa have been awesome, so we'll see what... I just show up. All these guys do most of the work, which is the best thing about it, you know? But
of course, he just teased. Alex Bezanson, Hug Foundation. We're going to talk a little bit about the Hug Foundation, the big softball tournament coming up. But first, I want to talk about what is Cross-Check Radio, Alex?
Cross-Check Radio is Kevin's radio show that we do this in order to help fight addiction. Obviously, Kevin has had his issues, and he's been doing very well for several years. And him and his sister and some other people started Power Forward 25, which is their nonprofit, and from that started Crosscheck Radio, which is a weekly radio show. And he's had on several people that have something to do with addiction for treatment centers and other people that are in recovery. And I've been on the show a couple of times with them, and starting tomorrow, we'll be filming it.
You'll add a visual element to it.
So we can do a podcast right in Abington, Massachusetts.
What was it like to first get acclimated and be doing a regular show, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, it was a little different at first. I wasn't really sure, you know, where it was going to go. But I think with addiction, I think the best thing about, you know, addiction is that, you know, you just tell the truth. You know, where I came from, kind of, you know, I was pretty much way up here when I hit addiction. So it covers a lot of different people. So basically what I do is just tell my story, and we have people come on and tell their stories. And it's just really about bringing some hope into this thing. You know, it's crazy out there. We all know we're all affected by this disease some way, family members, friends, whatever it is. So what we're doing is just trying to make a difference. You know, we're not going to help everybody who can't, you know, but just maybe an hour a week to talk about it and bring awareness and bring some prevention and what we can do to help. And, you know, it's been pretty good. It's been good. It's a learning experience for me. You know, we have great guests, and I learn a lot from the show myself.
And you've done about 85 shows, I think,
yeah,
so far.
Yeah, we've done a lot of shows. It's we tape every Wednesday, and like I said, it comes on Saturday. So yeah, it's been great. You know, it's been like I said, it's a lot of ups and downs in this world of addiction, and you know, you hear a lot of stories that are heartbreaking, but you know, hopefully they can help other people, you know, so they have to go through that.
And it isn't just on here in the Boston area. You also have it down, and it's broadcasting in Pittsburgh,
too? It's in Pittsburgh, too, on Saturday afternoons. The new show will be broadcast on Pittsburgh Community Access. And it will also be available for any other Community Access that wants to pick it up, as well as YouTube. You're very familiar with
I am.
Picking
I know,
it up.
I know
sure
it quite
Whitman
well.
Whitman might pick it up, right?
You might know the guy who probably downloads a lot of this stuff, yeah. You might know that guy. What's it like, though, in talking about this? And maybe folks who don't know and who are just listening for the first time, what being an athlete, was it an injury that triggered your addiction?
You know what, kind of, you know what happened is that, you know, I was 28 years old, 2 Stanley Cups in a row, first team All-Star, going for our third cup, and I was in New York City. It was like just like any night with the guys, and someone handed me this thing, which I know it was cocaine now, but I had no idea what it was. So I made kind of like I made like a 10 or 15 second decision: should I do this or shouldn't I do it? Right? And I went in the bathroom and did it, and from that point, things changed. You know, I'm not saying it changed overnight. But I had something, I had that gene, which I never activated because I never did drugs in my life until I tried it at 28. So that happened. Then about 3 months later, I had this head injury where I hit the ice. And that's, but already had activated my disease a little bit. You know, I got the pain medication, that the opiates or whatever you guys want, whatever we want to call it. You know, I get introduced to that. And then gradually and painfully, I went down that road of addiction. And it's hard, you know, like when I talk to schools, I talk to kids, I talk about, you know, not getting started. Because once you get started and get stuck on this stuff, you know, it's, and there's so many stories from dentists to people hurting their knees to any kind of surgeries, people getting hooked on this stuff and then eventually turning out terrible, you know. So it's, I think it's very important that we get out there and let people know that they don't have to do this stuff, you know.
Okay, we're talking with Kevin Stevens, NHL great, played for Pittsburgh, won a couple of cups, played for the Bruins, the Rangers.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got Alex Bezanson, Alex, who led the charge in regards to talking about addiction in the town of Abington and has been led the charge on so many other fronts, especially talking about the Hug Foundation, something that gives back to communities. And this was all something in regards, you know, it started with your sister and somebody who had cancer and loved the Bruins, and you saw it as a means to help others.
Correct. Yeah, my sister was a huge Bruins fan. I've told the story several times here at WATD. Mm-hmm. I'll give the short version. She was diagnosed with cancer, and I reached out to the Bruins Foundation and Bruins alumni to see if they could cheer her up a little bit, and We just all became friends, and it's been like 13, 14 years now, and they're some of my best friends now. They're very active in a Hug Foundation that we started in honor of my sister. So it's been a great ride, and she'd be very proud of us.
Indeed. Now you're helping to put the video part to this. This is going to be at Abington Cam. Going to be taking place tomorrow.
We're doing our first show tomorrow. So it'll be on Wednesdays.
It'll be on Wednesdays. Are you looking for studio audience members or just folks to download the podcast?
Well, a little bit of both. We have very limited studio audience seats, 10 to 12 at each taping. Tomorrow is booked, but if anyone wants to reach out to me to get in on another one, we'll be doing it at 11:30 on Wednesday mornings. Okay. At the Abington Studio, which is located in the school, in the new high school. Our first guest for this podcast version of it will be Derek Sanderson tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. He's a perfect guest for us. I was able to get him in, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. Derek's a great guy, and he's got a great story and a great message, you know.
And knowing that we had Casey Sherman in here, I know that they're actually putting together a screenplay and a movie.
Yep, right.
About about Derek's life and how Derek, he was right up there, and then he too was fell victim to.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, really. You know,
he was on the ice for probably the most famous goal.
He was the one he fed that cut. He fed that assist. Yeah, yep. In the overtime. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was great. We all remember that. You know, that's all we've been hearing about the last week anyways, right? So it's, we got to look at it 100 times. So we got to, it's all good, though. You know, it should be great. You know, it's good to see the Bruins back in it again, you know.
How important is it as to the types of guests that you have on? And how are you guys going to go about mixing it up and having an assortment of folks in?
Yeah, I think the most important, the way we've been doing it is that, you know, we have some people that, hockey with Derek and some other players, comedians, some guys, but we also have the people that, a normal person that's recovered, you know. I think it's important that, you know, we have all different people in there, all different walks of people, because anybody can get sober if you give it a chance. That's the hardest thing, is kind of surrendering to this disease and give it enough time so you can get better. I think a lot of us, very impulsive, you get clean for a little bit, you don't feel good, you want to take something, used to the same old thing. But I think it's important that we get all different types of people, and we do, and people that recovered, and there's hope, the hope that everybody can recover, and you can, don't matter where you're at in your life, what you're doing in your life, it can happen, and that's what we got to make people believe, that it can happen.
I like the element that not only there's an extended, I know that you go and you do a lot of talks to schools and to groups, and now that you're expanding to doing this element here. Do you like the large? Do you like an audience to be able to kind of talk to people?
Yeah, we really haven't had this. Will be our first time doing it. I think it'll be great. I think it'll be different. It'll bring a different aspect to what we do, and kind of what we've done in Quincy where we did it was kind of a little hidden shell in there, So I think getting out there and getting in the public and letting people, maybe if they have some questions or anything they want to ask, we're there to answer, because we're there to help. That's the only reason we really do this show. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. Mm. It's about trying to help,
Yeah, what is Power Forward 25? And I know it's powerforward25.com, right? That's the website.
Yeah, that's the website. So that's kind of what we're all about. And, we kind of like power forward. It's kind of like I was a power forward playing hockey. So we kind of rolled with this thing, power forward. So it's kind of, it's kind of has everything we do and what we do out there and what's going on.
It's nonprofit.
It's nonprofit, yeah. So it's good. Like I said, we're just out there trying to be able to make a difference, and it's not, like I said, we're not going to cure everybody, but if we can bring a little bit of hope to someone's life and make it a little better someday, then, that's what we're here for.
Were you going to chime in?
Yeah, like Kevin said, it's not all about having famous people on the show.
No, but it's...
That helps, obviously.
Sure, but...
The audience, but we've had people that have graduated from Teen Challenge, and anyone, anyone that's in recovery, or most people that are in recovery, want to help other people. So you don't have to be famous, The web grows and grows, you know, the more people you talk to and the more people you can help. Myself, I'm not in recovery, but we started the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition.
Correct.
And we met Kevin at Teen Challenge. And I was talking to him and his sister about our organization and theirs, and that's how we got to be where we are today.
What impressed you about Kevin and his road to success in when it comes to recovery?
Well, you know, I'm a hockey guy, and, you know, Kevin was a local
Kevin's
guy.
Kind of a hockey guy, too. Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's my point. You know, I had never met him before, yeah. But I knew about him. I knew his history and everything, and going to school here and Boston College and then on to Pittsburgh, you know. So I kind of followed his career, you know, just like I would anyone in locally. And, you know, I obviously read stories in the paper when they weren't good stories, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great mutual friend, Chris Nyland.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I travel with Chris mm-hmm. quite a bit. And almost every trip I was on, Chris said to me, where's Kevin? How's he doing? And I didn't know him, you know. And I remember one time Chris said to me, I heard he's living in Abington. See what you can find out. See if he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I did search around. I didn't find him, but
tough to find when you don't want to be found.
Yeah.
No one can find you there.
But he's got a lot of people that care about him, and Chris Nyland was one of them. And,
yeah.
You know, so now we're here trying to help other people.
All right, and now if folks want to find out more about the podcast, can they find out power25.com? They can,
yes, yes.
Because I know I went on there, that's how I knew that you had you had not only Boston, that the folks, there's a number of radio stations, but also in Pittsburgh there's a number of radio stations as well, which is fantastic.
Right, and we'll be posting on YouTube and podcasts. I don't know how all that stuff works, but... But it'll be up this week.
We have a lot of friends in the radio business.
We do. And
take care of you.
It will air in Abington on Abington Community Access Saturday nights at 8:00. So tomorrow's show will air Saturday night at 8:00.
And if Abington. I get it, and if Whitman gets it in a timely manner, it'll probably air on Sunday nights.
Okay,
just FYI. Awesome. Just awesome. Keep that in mind. And we serve two communities, Whitman and Hanson.
Yeah,
right. I'm talking about,
and that's what we're looking. We're looking to grow this so we can reach as many people as possible.
And it's, I think it's a fantastic. Again, it's great that we have gotten to a point. I can remember back 10 years ago when folks were starting to realize that there was an epidemic, that there was a problem, and that something needed to be done, but they didn't know how to go about it. And slowly, there has been a plan put in place to help people and find, whether it's beds, whether it's counselors, or even just people to speak with who have gone through the same situation. And again, I think that's if you're with people who are like-minded and who want to have the same success and stay addiction free.
Yeah.
I think that's what's
the
key.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Like, we're all, anybody that's in recovery is willing to help. You know, that's what we're here for. We're willing to help each other because we all know it's a very tough disease. And the biggest thing, the person that's struggling, you got to reach out and ask for help. And if you ask for it, there'll be a lot of people there to help you.
No, I know we're going to, we sit around, 7:40? We want to try to see if we can reach out to Don Arbery. Do we want to try to do that?
Sure.
So we'll do that in a couple of minutes. We'll reach out to them.
Hopefully he can hear us. He's at the Garden. He's going to be our reporter.
He's going to be our reporter.
At the Garden, nice.
Right there at the Garden to kind of give us an idea what the atmosphere is like. And we can only...
Hopefully we can hear him. Hopefully. I was just talking with somebody at the Garden. I said it's pretty loud there.
Yeah. Good. Well, you got to scare the bejesus out of the blues. So...
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure we touch upon the HUG Foundation. And when is the softball tournament coming up?
Softball is June 22nd this year. Hopefully Kevin's around to at least coach.
He'd make a heck of a first baseman.
Yeah, first baseman.
Has anybody claimed him yet?
Oh, catcher.
Catcher, really?
Kevin, I don't
Kevin
like him bend down anymore.
Catcher. Kevin Tocci has played, and every year we've
been. Great, awesome.
Never won the damn cup, but everybody else has won it. You had a new team win it last year,
Chuck,
right?
Chuck Stryler's team.
Chuck used to be on our team.
Yeah.
And then he branched off. And
they branched off, and they had a hell of a
team.
So
we have 12 teams that play, and each team raises $800 for the HUG Foundation. And we have four games.
Yeah, it was four games. However you do, you know, if you won four games, and then it's like a round robin kind of thing.
We have two divisions, 6 and 6, and then there's a championship game at 2 o'clock. This year, the after party is at the Polish Club, out's back, cookout style. So it should be a great time. Yeah. We have some great players. Jamie Parker from Nesson's going to play this year.
Really?
Well, she's coming. I don't know if she's going to play. Jamie, if you're listening, she's going to bring her kids, who she says are better softball players. who else we have? Dr. Hook.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
From Slapshot.
Yeah.
And the Deer Hunter. A lot of people don't know he was in the Deer Hunter.
Oh, that's right. And Big Al going to be playing?
Big Al will not be playing.
Oh, no, that guy's a hell of a first baseman.
Yeah.
He had hit, too.
Who else we got? A lot of the Bruins alumni.
How about Bruce Shoebottom?
Shoebottom will be
there. Shoe going to be there?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Shoe will be there. John Carter will be there.
Good.
Joey Voices this year. Dave Russo plays every year.
Yeah, Dave's played on our team.
Yeah.
He's competitive. Yeah.
Bobby Allen playing this year for his first time. Right, Andy Lacature.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
And again, so this is for the HUG Foundation. HUG is an acronym for Help Us Give. And it's important. And since you started this initiative, how well have you done in regards to raising money? And where does the money go? Just to remind folks.
We raise anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 a year, and we give it back to the community. Originally, it started out just to give money to people that are going through cancer treatment or accidents or something, traveling back and forth to the hospital, but we've expanded on that over the last few years. Unfortunately, one big thing that we've been doing lately is helping a lot of people with funeral expenses and receptions after the funeral. We've supplied the food for several of those in the past year. People who have
fallen on tough times,
house fire, it's just all sorts of things now.
It's kind of blossomed since you originally started it.
Yeah.
Since you did like an ice and dice type of a thing, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah,
we started the.
I remember
ice
promoting it. Was the first one I promoted it. Mm, yeah, Lyndon Byers there too, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
A bunch of
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
2007, I think, was the first one.
So
we did the Ice and Dice Casino Nights for 3 years to raise money for the Pan Mass Challenge for the Bruins Foundation.
As they ride the 200 miles, or nearly 200 miles. Okay. Good to know. He is dialing. Ben is dialing to see if he can get Don Ari on the line. We are expecting Ricky Smith.
He's calling in a few minutes, yes.
Is he going to be calling in? All right, so.
What do you all think?
I don't know.
Bruins in 6 in overtime.
Overtime game 6, huh?
You're a guy who, you know, put the skates on. If you had any length of time off, my big fear would be is they had 11 days off.
Yeah, there's no really way to. What do you do, right? There's no way you can do anything. All you got to do is get ready and do the best. The crowd will give them a lift. You know, I think, are they going to be a little off? Well, yeah, probably. But St. Louis had, 6 days off? Anytime, like for me, one day was fine. The second day got a little difficult. I didn't want to take it 2 days out. I think both teams are going to be a little rusty, but you know they're going to be anxious to get out there. I'll tell you that much. My God, it's going to be just with the crowd and the atmosphere and all the buildup nowadays. You know, it's crazy.
See, and I got to ask you this: is knowing that there are you got a couple players in that team that they still get that taste from 2011. You know, they hoist that one cup. You won two cups.
Yeah.
How much sweeter was it to hoist the second one?
Second one was good, but it's so hard to win. Like, even to get where they are right now, it's just, you need every break. You need everything to go right. You need, you got to get bouncers. You got to get, Rask has been unbelievable. I think that's the biggest thing. Both the goal, Binnington and Rask, were playing great. You know, you have the goalies 11 days off. Like, start from scratch with them, I think.
I heard the other players weren't even talking to Tuca.
So it's like he was throwing a no-hitter. Don't talk to him. Don't even look at him.
I know.
Oh, so we have online. Would you like to introduce Don?
Don, are you there?
I am here. It's going to be hard hearing you because I'm on the ninth level of the garden, and that's the issue.
Well, thanks for calling in. We'll just keep you for a minute. We appreciate you being our reporter at the Garden tonight.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So, are you still there, Don?
Yeah, the problem is I'm not going to be able to hear you.
All right. So we'll ask one more question. Kevin, do you want to ask a question?
Oh, yeah. What's it like in there, Don? What's the crowd like? How's the build-up? Pretty good?
Well, as you know, the Bruins are out. The Bruins are out warming up.
Yeah.
So the fans certainly are expecting a great game, and I wouldn't expect anything different.
Awesome.
All right. Last thing I'll ask you is, who's going to win? Who's going to win, and how many games?
The Bruins should win. They got 7 games to win it. Now, what are they doing? 4, 5, 6, or 7. It doesn't make any difference as long as they win.
Excellent. Don, we'll let you go. We thank you very much for calling us.
You're welcome.
Got it. And if we could, Ben, if you want to bring him down, we're good with him. Could you play me? Let me tell you what cut to play real quick, just to remind folks, because I did want to ask Don about this as to the moment, but we'll have to wait until Rick. And that is, play us cut two, will you?
Or fights to keep it in. Does has it in the corner to Sanderson. Back in front door. Shot scores.
Yeah, that was an overtime, and I actually have a clip. We won't play it now, though. Where actually Harry Sinden is telling the team that supposedly you don't want this to go too long.
Yeah,
you don't. You got to score immediately because there was statistics supposedly that if it went too long, that usually the other team was going to win, and so that's why. And it was a classic pass. And
do you remember watching it?
I remember watching 72.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little scrub.
Yeah.
Back
I remember watching it sitting on the living room.
You got a few more ticks on the clock.
A couple more. And Mother's Day, Sunday afternoon, we were sitting there in the living room.
May 10th, right?
May 10th, yeah.
And went nuts. My sister and I just was the greatest thing.
I have to say, though, is that they've been, you know, there's a particular sports station that's actually been downplaying, saying that, in fact, that St. Louis was an expansion team and that, you know, it was a... You know, the whole ore flying through the air, that they had beaten them four games in a row, and it's, you know.
Yeah, it's, I don't think it really, yeah. I don't care who you beat, right?
It doesn't matter.
When you can hoist that cup, you can hoist it,
that
right?
cup. Ben, were you going to chime in real quick?
I did. You know, looking it up, you're getting the facts straight for the game and doing all the pregame stuff. But, you know, the St. Louis Blues had actually seen a Stanley Cup final twice prior, and they were swept out of those ones by the Montreal Canadiens.
Hmm.
Of all people.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
So the Bruins got the third whack at it, and now we get the fourth.
And St. Louis has never won, is that correct?
No, they haven't won since...
It's been a long time.
I don't think ever, right?
I don't know if they've...
They've never won a Stanley Cup in franchise history.
They want to get their first taste, and...
Well, and for them, it would be a great story, because they were in last place January 1st.
That is correct.
And then to come back and win the cup...
They fired the coach, right?
...would be unbelievable for them. I hope they don't do it, but it would be a great story.
Yeah, their new coach is. I play with Berube. He's a good guy. You know, a guy you root for. You know, he's one tough guy, one of those guys that came through the league and paid his dues. You know, and but he's done a great job. He's a guy you want to play for. I know those guys will play hard for him. You know.
You know what's funny is knowing that a lot of these guys who are coaches now, you probably skated with them.
Oh yeah, most of those, like Tockett, Mike Sullivan, they're all like. All these guys, Scott Gordon, Phil, like all the guys that are around, you know, I pretty much played with. And all good guys, all, you know, guys. You know, it's the game has changed so much just because of, you know, the X's and the O's and all the video. Like, you know, grabbing that video thing and watching that during, like, on the bench. When we played, that thing would have been smashed 7 times over. They stuffed that in our face. We're like, what is this thing? You know, they can see exactly what happened the play before, like right there. You know, they got TVs, the coaches in the bench on the floor, you know, so they see it right away. So things have changed, but it's still It's awesome to watch. You know, this series is going to be great. It's great to watch.
See, I was watching this from the first round. I mean, first thing I was worried about making sure that the Bruins didn't get eliminated by the Leafs, because the Leafs were a tough team.
Tough team.
But then you saw Washington fall, and the Bruins have, at the past couple of years, haven't been able to get past, beat them.
Yeah, they haven't been able to beat, hope he's got the number forever, So, Washington goes out, then Tampa goes out.
Yes, the Lightning.
Then Pittsburgh goes out, then everybody goes out. It's kind of like, so it kind of fell in place. But you know what? Columbus was a great team. They made a lot of great trades at the end. So, all these teams were tough outs, They were playing well when they beat them,
But it's just, of the three teams that the Bruins played, are any of them similar in style to the Blues?
I don't know. Like, I think Toronto was more, had great forwards, and their D wasn't like... The thing with St. Louis, they got, they got six defensemen that are big.
They're big.
They're really big back there. 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". We're smaller, a little quicker, but they're big, and they can play, and they have a good team. Like, their fourth line is big. We use our fourth line. They use their fourth line a lot. They're similar. We're similar to what they have. Their first line is good. Our first line is good. So, just a matter of goaltending. Who shows
Stop
up?
Stop that puck.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. If the goalie shows up, and both these guys have been showing up, so we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be a great series. I do.
Would you like to introduce our guest who's on the phone?
Ricky.
You there? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We have.
Good, thank you.
Do you like Rick or Ricky? What do you prefer, Mr. Smith?
Typically Rick.
Okay, so we got Rick Smith from the 1970s, a Boston Bruins championship Boston Bruins team. Watching this happen, is it like seeing history happen all over again with the Bruins and the Blues? Give me your thoughts, knowing that you played in that series, 39 years ago?
49
50
years ago.
Yeah. What a feeling to we've watched the playoffs closely and enjoying the Bruins playing, but seeing them matched up with the Blues, it's pretty, that's really exceptional for us. The 70 Bruin team, all the memories are flashing back, and oddly enough, the first one I had is coming in, we stayed at the Sheraton, or the Hilton Colonial, as a team, even playing at home, we stayed in a hotel. And we came in by bus, and I've got the first flashback I have is coming over the Mystic River Bridge, coming into Boston. What a beautiful sight! And it was an afternoon game. It was Mother's Day. I think it was a Sunday. My mom and dad were there, so had a chance to kind of look from the top and look where you're going, and just full of excitement, and could hardly wait to get on the ice.
Where were you when that goal, when Bobby Orr scored that final goal that gave you the cup in 1970?
I was on the bench. I played the same position as Bob, so I was next on that sort of thing. So,
So another minute, it would have been you scoring that.
Close, yeah. Yeah.
So watching these two teams, what's your thoughts in regards to? This Bruins team, and you know what? Looking at how hockey has changed in 50 years, I mean, how this style of hockey compared to when you played, I mean, how has it changed so much?
Well, there's so much speed. But when we played, we thought it was fast then, and of course, it's only gotten so much faster. But it is a different game. There's the skill level being so high, and but it still comes down to simple things like forechecking, being responsible, coming back for the wings, that sort of thing. And our guys like to, play in the other end. We had some real great crashers, Wayne Cashman, Donnie Marcotte, guys like that. So it's bigger, stronger, faster, et cetera. But still the same game, and I have to admit that it's gotten pretty exciting, especially this year.
Hi, Rick. It's Kevin Stevens. How are you? I'm just hear what the boys kind of talk about this thing. I won, it's funny, but you talked about you won the cups in the early 70s. I won cups in Pittsburgh in the early 90s, and I thought we were real fast. Now it's kind of, it's amazing how it just changes. When you're playing, when I'm playing, we think the game is so fast. But basically, like you said, it comes down to hard work, not turning the pucks over, and being, you know, being on the right side and doing the little things to win this thing. Because both these teams are pretty good. They've worked hard to get where they get, and they're not going to give anything away, right?
Oh, very much so. And as you say, very similar.
Yeah.
I think that at each level, the Bruins are a little bit better.
Yeah.
From goaltending on up to the forwards and defense, but it's still going to be a great contest. So, and I guess the big thing is the momentum.
Yeah.
And everybody, I know they've talked about the layoff probably for 11 days in Boston, but it's a real factor.
Yeah.
And St. Louis, they've almost cut having 6 days ahead off or something like that. So they've got a slight advantage there. So it's probably going to take a couple of periods for that to shake out. But I can see Boston wanting to play defensive. You know, they can get real tight defensively. So they might just want to go in slowly, whereas I think St. Louis is just going to go for them, right, and give it everything they got from the start. But it is exciting to see, and where it goes, nobody knows.
So I'll ask you guys this, and I'll start with Kevin. And what are you going to be watching in the first period? How are you going to know how the layoff has affected this team? Is it going to be the first period, the second period? What are you going to be watching for?
Well, I think, you know, like Rick said, I think it's, you know, the pace obviously is going to be fast. They're going to be scared. It's about how they're moving the puck, how they're handling the puck. I like to see how the goaltenders are actually, you know, I don't think we'll see it right off the bat, but, you know, I think it's a long time for a goalie to be, you know, player, defenseman, forwards, that's a long time to be off. But for a goalie who was playing so well like Rask and Binnington, who's playing so well, to see how they kind of establish themselves in the series, you know, that's, because I think the goaltender is obviously, in any series, the biggest key.
Rick, your thoughts?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. The goaltending is very, very important. I think they're both going to be pretty comfortable, though. As I say, yeah. I think the Bruins will be protective of them. I don't see St. Louis getting much of too many shots early. But I think if the Bruins, if they take a nice slow pace, and I think they'll gradually move it up as they feel better. And late second period, I think they could just, I assume the game's going to be very close, and then I think they'll put a charge on there.
Alex?
Well, I don't think the Bruins are going to be as rusty as some people think.
You think that scrimmage last week helped them?
Well, I do. I think that. I think they've been talking to the Patriots on what they do on a two-week layoff. I think they're doing all the right things. I think they're going to come out. I think they're ready for it. I really do. I think practicing at night was a great idea. I think Cassidy's doing all the right things.
I can say one thing. I remember when we were playing in the Cups, I'd like to be St. Louis right now, opening up on the road. I like to open up on the road because if you can steal a game,
oh, yeah,
one of these games, you know, the series is back in your hands again. So I like the Bruins to win this series, but St. Louis can never steal one of these games here. Puts a lot of pressure back on the Bruins.
All right, I'm going to put the pressure on you, Kevin. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? How many games? And who's Conn Smythe?
Well, I think I'm going to say the Bruins are going to win.
Yep.
In six games, and it's going to be Rask, because I just think, you know, anytime, you know, I don't care what Bobby Orr or Mario Lemieux, they're all the greatest players in the world. But if you don't have goaltending, we're not going anywhere.
Rick, your thoughts? Who's going to win?
I agree with the Bruins winning. I think it's going to take seven games, though. And Tuukka, I think he's done it to this point, so it's his trophy he'll get it unless he has a rough series, and for whatever reason, I'm sure the Bruins are going to win, whether or not Tuukka's the man, because they, you know, Bergeron and these other guys have played very, very well too. So anyway, we'll see. I think Tuukka will have to play very well to win the Conn Smythe.
Well, if not, you got Halak also. Don't forget, he backed them up. So if there's any issues, you pop Halak. I thought Halak had some great games this year, and it gave Tuukka a lot of rest. Mm-hmm. And I think it's paid dividends. Alex, who's going to win, and who wins Conn Smythe?
I think it's Tuukka for sure, and I think it's going to be the Bruins in six.
Bruins in six. Excellent. Now, Rick, are you going to try to get to a game, or are you going to be here for the parade?
Well, I can't get down for a game, unfortunately, but the parade is still, I'd love to be there for it, so hopefully the parade.
Rick, it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to speak with you and Don and Kevin, the three guys who have won the cup, and, you know, it's a It's a terrific feat, and to be able to speak with you and talk hockey with you, one of my favorite sports. It's been an honor.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be part of it.
Excellent. Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate
Rick
you calling
Smith.
In. Rick was just down last week for the bowl with the Bruins.
And he missed it. I would have aimed at a couple of pins with him.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now, I think it's going to be six games. I think the Bruins will win it. And I think, indeed, Rask will. I think he'll be shaky. I think that the Blues will steal one.
And Sam Owens wins tonight. I'm changing my prediction. Can I come in again?
He certainly can. Ben, you want to give a quick prediction?
You know, I was actually saying it to somebody earlier. I'm going to say Bruins in five.
Wow.
With Tuukka Rask. Wow, you know why I say five?
Why?
Got to lose one so we can win it at home.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Got to bring it home.
Okay, got to bring it home.
That's the problem in six. They won't be home.
I never won one at home. Both mine were on the road.
Really?
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Kevin, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Love to have you back.
No, thanks. Awesome. It's great.
Power25.com.
Power Forward 25.
I want to see if you're paying attention. Be sure to check out the website, Hug Foundation. And what's the website for the Hug Foundation?
HugFoundationMA.org.
Okay. And folks, if they want to be able to access the cross-check radio, how can they do that?
Go to PowerForward25.com, and it'll be up on there with links to YouTube. And like I said, anyone out there listening, ask your local cable company, your local cable access to
they
show
should be
it.
Able to do it. If they have Mass Media Exchange, they should be able to do it, or Telview Connect. If not, contact me. I'll tell you how to do it.
Or Lisa.
Lisa, do you want to say something? No, I guess not. The silent partner in the room.
Yeah, and thank you, Lisa, for the banana bread.
President of the Hug Foundation.
Banana bread's down the hatch. So that
down
was
the hatch.
Kevin hasn't done a trip with us yet, so he doesn't know the whole banana.
I like the banana bread.
We're going to have to recruit him to be our catcher for our team.
Yeah. All right.
That's all the time that we have here, but for Kevin Stevens and Alex Bazantz and Lisa Bazantz and Don Ari and Rick Smith. That is all the Monday Night Talk till next week at 6:15 p.m. Go Bruins. Have a safe night.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.